Grace be unto you and peace from the Almighty God, the God who not only created the heavens and the earth, but the God who has established his church right here among us. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, for as long as I can remember, there has been kind of a standard questionnaire that congregations use whenever they want to conduct a door-to-door canvass of the community around their church. This questionnaire begins by asking the person at the door how long they have lived in that area. Then it transitions into asking them if they have a church home in the area, and if so, on average, how many times do they attend per month? Then at the end, the questionnaire transitions into questions like this. The thing I look for most in a church is, I think the program our community needs the most is. If your church really wants to serve the people in this community, you will have to, and then it's fill in the blank. As you can imagine, the answers to those last three questions are pretty much all over the map. Sometimes people think that what is most important for the church to do is to assist in social issues, such as help the homeless or to help feed and clothe those who are needy. Sometimes a person will say, well, if the church really wants to serve the people in this community, or otherwise, if the church really wants to serve me, then it has to show me what I can do to become a better person, to become a better spouse, to become a better friend. So let me ask you, my friends, why does our congregation exist? What is the purpose for Christ Lutheran Church? Now, we might have a different way of answering those questions, but the way in which we answer them on both a personal level and on a congregational level will have a direct impact on how we view the church, as well as the decisions that we make. On a personal level, the way in which we answer that question will determine how we think about our church attendance or attendance at Bible class. On a congregational level, the way in which we answer that question will be seen by the entire congregation in areas such as our offerings, our budget, our willingness to help here in God's church. With all of that in mind, let's use the sermon text that we have before us this morning to address the question, what is the purpose of the church? Using these inspired words of the Apostle Paul, I submit to you this morning that the church has a twofold purpose here on this earth. The first purpose of the church is, as Paul says, to present the Word of God in its fullness. The second purpose of the church is, as Paul says, to present everyone perfect in Christ. Once again, I'd like to give you a little bit of insight into our sermon text for today by giving you a little background concerning Paul's letter to the Christians living in the city of Colossae. There were false teachers in this city who had infected this congregation with something that is now known as the Colossian heresy. The Colossian heresy denied that a simple, humble faith in Jesus and what he has done for us is sufficient for eternal life in heaven. The Colossian heresy also emphasized that if you want to be saved, you need to follow at least some of the Old Testament ceremonial laws, as well as some of the traditions of men. The proponents of this heresy advocated things such as the worship of angels. They even went so far as to say that they had a wisdom, a knowledge, an understanding that far surpassed anything that the Apostle Paul could share with them. In response to this letter, Paul's letter to the Christians in Colossae proclaims the sufficiency of faith in Christ and the work that Christ has done for us. And as we will see in our text for today, Paul's letter to the Colossians reveals the twofold purpose of his ministry among them, a ministry that I believe gives us the twofold purpose of God's church right down to this very day. Let's start by looking at verse 25. Speaking of the church, Paul writes, I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. I have become increasingly dismayed and frustrated by churches and by individual Christians who say that they have the right to pick and choose what parts of the Bible they want to believe, teach, and confess, and what parts of the Bible they are willing to simply ignore or flat out deny. As some of you know, I call this the old country buffet syndrome in the church. Have you ever been to an all-you-can-eat buffet? Our family absolutely loves them. When all the children lived at home, we enjoyed going down to the old country buffet in Flint. Why? Because each of us as individuals got to pick and choose whatever we felt like eating for dinner that day. It truly was a very enjoyable experience. Unfortunately, the old country buffet syndrome has wreaked havoc in God's church. People often ask me, why are there so many different Christian denominations? People have also asked me, why are there different kinds of Lutheran churches? My answer to them is that not every church and not every Christian follows the example that Paul gives to us in our text to present to you the Word of God in its fullness. As God's church, we need to proclaim everything that God has revealed to us right here on the pages of His holy Word. Even those parts of the Bible that we cannot comprehend, such as the six-day creation of the universe, the virgin birth of the Christ child, and the physical resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Even those parts of the Bible that our society today adamantly and angrily denies, such as the Bible's teaching on abortion and homosexuality. Even those parts of the Bible that we might be uncomfortable hearing or sharing with others, such as the powerful message of God's holy law. And yet, my friends, the purpose of the church today needs to be exactly the same as the purpose of Paul's ministry so many years ago, to present the Word of God to you in its fullness. Perhaps because the false teachers in Colossae were claiming that they had a wisdom, a knowledge, an insight that surpassed that of the Apostle Paul. Paul explains to the Colossians what he means when he says that he proclaims the Word of God to them in its fullness. Look at verses 26 and 27 of our text. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints, to them. God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. When the word mystery is used on the pages of the New Testament scriptures, it refers to this: secret thoughts, plans, and dispensations of God, which are hidden from the human reason, as well as from all other comprehension below the divine.